Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This episode is unique. We're doing something we've never done before. We've heard from a lot of you guys out there that the episodes where we don't really have a specific plan for the topic, for some reason, we seem to get even more positive feedback about those episodes than we do the others, which is it's flattering. It's a little scary because I don't really understand why, but anyway, in the same vein as those episodes where we just kind of wing it, we don't have a topic in particular going into it, this week's episode takes that to even a new level, a level beyond. And that is because we've talked before about our Patreon donors, and one of the levels that we have for the Patreon donations is that you can participate in a hangout session with us once a month. And so this week's hangout session, we had Joe Cruz and Joel Welch, and we recorded it for the intention of, you know, posting it as bonus content on patreon.com. And the hangout went so well and got to be so interesting that it ran really long, and it kind of turned into what we thought would be a really good episode for Random Chatter. So we are releasing that hangout as a Random Chatter episode. So not only do we not have show notes, we didn't even know that this was going to become an episode. That's about as random as you can get. All right. So we don't really have an opening for this episode. I'm recording this after the fact. So I'm just going to drop you into the conversation, and here we go. Oh man. I didn't save any of the other links from the stuff that had, oh my gosh, I'm such a loser. That's okay. I've got the important stuff. Oh boy.
As long as you have it under control.
Well, let's not stretch it.
That's all that matters.
Okay, I just tested my mute button. You can hear that, right?
I can hear that. You just said you're testing your mute button.
Okay, but you didn't say test, which is good. Nope. Because, yeah, now I know this button works. This is all this like brand new stuff I just bought the last couple of weeks, and I haven't had time to test almost any of this stuff out yet. So
nice.
So I'm actually sitting down with like two laptops.
You're becoming a professional.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a professional eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, professional what is another thing, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I know how that goes. So did you guys watch the Star Wars show?
Yeah, no. I did. I did. Opening joke.
Putting that in the show notes. What else?
Andy was one of my fellow cruisers when we were on the Star Wars Day at Sea cruise.
Yeah, I wish I'd gotten to meet her.
Yeah, she looks like a fun girl.
Yeah, she's fun.
Still waiting for Justin to pop up publicly somewhere.
Yeah, but he's on like a gag order by Lucasfilm, right? I'm guessing.
Well, no, he was up until like his first day of work.
Okay.
And he's going to be doing my understanding is he's going to end up doing a lot of stuff on the website, and he's going to be doing some of the types of things that Andy does.
Okay.
But I think that some of that might take a little while to actually develop because, you know, he may be, I don't know, he might have some kind of hand in the creative side of it. So maybe there's planning to be involved, and
that's just great news all around. So
I know I am so excited for him. I can't even begin to describe it.
Well, you know, the other thing that might take a while, too, is I got to get a good makeup artist to make him look pretty again. So.
Yeah.
You know, poor guy. He's just so homely looking.
I know.
I'm just curious about Lucasfilm, like in terms of their communications, how free are their staff members to do stuff, you know, when they engage fans?
Okay, well, let me give you a little bit of a backstory, something that some people have heard us talk about and a lot of people don't know. Anytime we have someone on for an interview, there's always, like, they don't call us directly. Tracy Canobio is the Lucasfilm rep for Rebels, for example, and a lot of other things. But so anytime we had Vanessa Marshall or anyone else from Rebels on the Forcecast, they would get with her, she would call us, and she would be monitoring the whole thing basically in the background.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
and
makes sense.
At the end of it, not to be fair, the only time she ever asked us to change anything was when the actress who plays Sabine felt like she felt a little self-conscious after the interview because there was a point at which we asked her some kind of question and she felt like she kind of rambled on a little bit. And yeah. I don't really think that she rambled, but I could see where she would have thought so. So I told Tracy, yeah, not a problem. We'll trim it up a little bit. And that was it. Otherwise, Tracy has always been just nothing but awesome with anything we've ever asked for from her. And I mean, she's one of the hardest people, the hardest working people, it seems like, in the Star Wars fan community, and gets almost no recognition for it because, of course, she's behind the scenes all the time. Now, here's another story, though.
Okay.
There was one time we were recording and Vanessa was talking to one of us in Twitter. It was either you, Lou, or Justin, or maybe both of you or something like that. And one of us said, hey, why don't you hop in? We're recording right now. And she said, oh, yeah, sure. And so she called in and she was recording with us and just hanging out, like not talking about anything in particular. And because we were tweeting about it, Tracy found out about it and she contacted us and she's like, yeah, guys, we really probably shouldn't do that. Probably shouldn't release it. Is that okay? And then she, I guess she got with Vanessa and was like, Vanessa, no, don't ever do that again.
I wasn't there. It was one of the ones I was not on and you guys had her on without me. Thanks.
Yeah, oh, okay. Well, it never got released, so it's not like it did us any good.
True.
Yeah. But, you know, she's always, oh, hold on. Oh, I have Joe. Add to call. Oh, except did I? Oh, no, Chris is down there in a smaller icon now. But and even then, like Tracy, I understand her position, and that is exactly what she should have done. I mean, it makes perfect sense. So, I mean, she's protecting the Star Wars brand, which is her job. She is that intermediary to make sure that the fans have access to people at Lucasfilm, but to make sure that the people in Lucasfilm don't accidentally say things that they shouldn't say.
Yeah, which is only human, and no matter who you are, unless you're really well groomed and trained, we all say stupid things sometimes.
Yeah, some of us are even masochistic enough to record it while we say stupid things. So that's great.
Yeah, that's funny.
Do we have him?
Hello.
Hey, Joe.
Hey there.
Welcome.
Yes, sir.
You figured it out. Good job.
Wow. Yeah, it only took me about 30 minutes of just sketchy going nuts over here.
Oh, that's
okay. Look at the time. We got to go.
Oh, we're sorry. It's been a great hangout.
Hey, my 30-minute hangout was me just going over my laptop and then going back to my iPhone and saying, forget the laptop.
Are you on your phone right now?
Yes, I'm on my phone. The laptop, okay. I couldn't figure it out at all. And my phone already has it on there. So I just
There you go. I mean, whatever works. You're here. That's the important thing. So,
yes, sir.
All right. So, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was going to say, so am I making you guys late for your next show?
Yes, no. Because I tell you what, if we don't start at exactly 9:02,
thanks you for it.
Because you know we're always on time. We are just so punctual.
Yes. We put the pun in punctual.
Yes, you do. Yes, you guys do.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yes, yes, it was.
Oh, I got to load up my my chat room app thingy here. I'm trying to do that on.
Oh, man.
Oh, and you know what? We're not actually in the chat room because I hit the stream button, but I didn't hit the button to capture the audio. So now we're in the chat room. That's okay.
Okay, excellent. Let me pop that up too.
And Bill Buddy was important and famous. He's not.
So sorry, is Mr. Chris online here?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, my favorite emo guy is online. I love it.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Chris? Fine.
Fine.
I'm great.
I'm listening to The Cure and The Smiths.
I could not be more excited.
But I think me and Chris listen to a lot of the same music, though.
Hey, Chris, that's a good thing.
Do you listen to The Cure?
I love The Cure. I love The Smiths. I love all that old 80s, dark music.
Chris, I didn't know that about you. Do you listen to all that nonsense?
Oh, yeah.
Good man. Okay. All right. Well, that's, I don't know why I didn't know that, but I didn't know that.
What is that band that Eric, you listened to that band, the
Cell Dweller?
Yes. That's hardcore stuff right there.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I've been listening to the guy since probably the early 90s.
Yeah, that's it's heavy.
Yeah. We've actually used him for quite a while now in the Random Chatter Network for he releases instrumental versions of a lot of his stuff, most of his stuff. And it's pod safe, so as long as you give credit to him, then he lets you use it with nice. No problem at all. So we've been using it, gosh, for years, like a decade now, various different songs and stuff. The one that we use now from Blue Stolly, Blue Stolly is actually a different artist that's on Cell Dweller's record label. That's the thing. Clayton, the guy who's, it's kind of like Nine Inch Nails. So, you've got Trent Reznor is Nine Inch Nails and he has like a touring group, but it's the group is basically one guy. Well, it's the same thing. Clayton is Cell Dweller. So he has a record label. He's based out of Detroit, Michigan. Probably the only thing based out of Detroit, Michigan these days. as a former Detroit resident native.
Well, I'm 2 hours away.
Oh, really? Where are you?
I'm Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, dude, I grew up in Port Huron.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, until I was like 12 years old.
You grew up in a town with urine in the name?
Huron.
Hey, come on. He's happy.
Okay. No, Huron's in the name. Urine was everywhere else.
Okay.
Yes. Tell you what, if you've ever seen parts of Lake
Erie. I heard urine.
But so he's based out of Detroit. And Blue Stolly's one of the guys on his label, but Blue Stolly's a little more... like he does techno industrial stuff, but it's much more techno than industrial. Uh-huh. Whereas Cell Dweller is kind of the other side of techno industrial, where it's more industrial than techno. It's much more metal.
Yes, sir. A lot more industrial from the stuff I was listening to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff though. I gotta get him on. I gotta get him on for an interview at some point.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. And that DJ that you were talking about, that DJ
Elliot,
by the way.
No, I pester him enough that he feels like if he throws me a tweet every now and then, that maybe I'll shut up for a week. So,
well,
yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah, for about a week.
If I throw you a tweet, you'll shut up every now and then?
No. But I'm not worried about you not speaking to me again. See, there's a difference.
That's true.
It's funny, though, because I like electronic music, and we had there was a string of interviews on the Forcecast where I wasn't available for the times that a lot of the interviews were done, so I let Eric Geller and or Justin do them, and which is fine. And DJ Elliot was one of those interviews, and I'm like, oh, okay, some DJ, whatever. I wasn't even sure whether it was like a radio DJ or an actual turntable DJ. I didn't know. I'd never heard of the guy before. And then I had seen pictures of some DJ Lobot guy, and it looked awesome. It's like, hey, he's dressed up like Lobot, and it makes sense because, you know, DJing, you got the headphones on and everything. Yep. And it's, and like, if nothing else, that's such a cool costume and a cool way to do that. But I'm like, you know, whatever. Okay, so he's some fanboy, and, you know, okay. And then Celebration, I think it was it the first day of Celebration, Lou, where they had the meet and greet over at the Hilton?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Yeah, I think it was Thursday. And it was basically like a podcasters and Star Wars fan community and stuff. And he was there and, he introduced himself and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm DJ Elliot. I'm like, oh, yeah, I think, I'm with the Forcecast. I think we interviewed you before or something. He's like, yeah. And, he gave me a business card and we're like, you enjoying Celebration? Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. You know, and we're just like kind of making some small talk and stuff. And he goes his own way. And then later, it might have been later that night, there was a big outdoor dance party thing between the Hilton and the other hotel there. Yeah. And we're walking past and all of a sudden out of nowhere comes, it was the Bon Jovi, You Give Love a Bad Name mixed with something else, but it was like the Star Wars mix. And I just, Lou and I were walking down the street and I don't know if we were going to meet Chris or if Chris was with us. I think we were going to meet Chris. And I literally stopped on the sidewalk and I just turned and I look at what the hell is that? And Lou kind of smiled, looked at me, and he looked at over at the DJ thing. He's like, yeah, that's actually pretty cool. And then he went into some other more modern thing, and then he went into Journey and something. I'm like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? And then it clicked, and I'm like, this is that DJ Elliott guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I feel like an idiot now. I needed to talk to this guy. I needed to like pick his brain for about 6 hours. This guy is awesome.
Yeah.
So
hey, Eric, he's on Facebook. Eh? He's actually on my Facebook.
Yeah.
And see all that. Yeah. You can actually, you know, just deal with him directly on Facebook.
Yeah. I need to start doing that.
Is that Mr. Joel?
We're friended on Facebook.
It is. How you guys doing?
Mr. Joel. Hey, is that Canadian accent I hear?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I tell you guys, it's all about the Canadian accent.
Oh,
Joel's groaning.
It's funny because I grew up the border with the United States, Niagara Falls. You know, my mom was American, my dad was Canadian, but I was born on the Canadian side.
Oh, nice.
And New just Yorker. Going across one bridge, and there's a huge shift in the accent, right?
Yeah.
In the dialect. Yeah.
But you know what's weird, though? Like, growing up in Michigan and crossing over in Ontario all the time, and my mom's side of the family is Canadian. Nobody that I have met in Canada has ever said anything about anything. Like, the whole about thing. The first time I heard that, honestly, I swear to God, the first time I heard that was when I was in the military in the mid-90s was the first time I heard about. And I'm like, why are you saying about? And the person said, well, she's Canadian. And I said, yeah, so it's half my family. We don't say about. What is this? And they're like,
South
no, Canadians. Yeah, and then South Park did it, of course. I mean, no, they don't actually say that, at least not in the part I'm familiar with. But
well, it depends. You know, Canada's a large country, right? Different regions have different accents, especially out east on the East Coast. And, you know, talk to someone from Newfoundland and be completely different from someone from Southern Ontario.
Yeah. All I know about Canada, I learned from South Park. You've got downtown Canada. You've got the Canadian airport.
You know, this drives Canadians nuts, you know? Like, completely know. Nuts. So on behalf of any Canadians out there right now, sorry.
Wait until yoga hosers come out.
I was going to college back in the late 80s. I was in Rochester. So we'd make, you know, pilgrimage over the border every now and then to drink. But it was right at the time when the Calgary Olympics were on. And one of my more... geographically challenged friends was like, oh, we should just drive to Canada to see the Olympics.
Like, sure.
No, it doesn't work that way. It's a pretty wide country. It's West Coast. Oh, really? Oh.
You know, Lou, that was like 1988, I think.
Yeah, I said late 80s.
Lou's old. I'm sorry. Lou's old, eh?
Hey.
Now, I did meet I know a lot of Canadians in Ontario that say A after stuff, but like not like all the, like every sentence, eh? But yeah, so like, I guess I've never been to the West Coast side of Ontario, or of Ontario. I've never been to the West Coast side of Canada. So I know obviously there's got to be differences in accents, but like, I guess I just, you know, the United States, it seems like the most prominent accents are Southern versus what most Northerners consider normal. And then you've got certain isolated areas, like you've got the New York and Boston accents, things like that. But
don't forget North Dakota.
Oh, yeah, don't you know North Dakota?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's a beautiful place. I spent four years up there in the United States Air Force, don't you know?
Did you really, Eric?
Oh, yeah, Butte. Oh, for sure.
Eric, how long were you in the military for?
4 years, which was about 3¾ years too long. I'm kidding.
You did your duty?
He said duty. We got him to say duty on our podcast. Yay! Yeah, I did 4 years. I was supposed to be going in for computer programming, and I have one of those typical recruiter nightmare stories where I did not put my foot down and make sure things happened the way they needed to. So I ended up being law enforcement because they needed cops. So,
Wait, were you riot control?
We didn't have a lot of riots in North Dakota. It was kind of cold.
Well, my dad, when he was, the Vietnam era.
Yeah.
He was riot control.
Nice. Nice.
So.
We were trained in some riot control techniques and stuff like that. But I mean, we were in a small base. Out in the middle of, a lot of people don't know this about the state of North Dakota. It is literally probably 2/3 of the geographic area of the state is missile fields.
Wow.
Interspersed with farmland. And if you've ever been there during a winter, you wonder why anybody would ever want to live up there for any sort of farming. But the reality is it's some of the most fertile soil in the entire country. And I imagine up north into Canada, likewise with the soil up there. So there's a lot of really, really good farming. And so it's a bunch of, you know, farmers and missile sites. And that's about it. But so real rioting, most of the rioting up there is when farmers get really, really, really drunk. And then they drive out to one of the missile silos, which, of course, is underground. And there's a little, like, bunker thing up top, which basically it consists of a couple of campers with a bunch of what they call missile cops, security specialists, armed with M16s that they have leaned up against the, you know, the bathroom door inside the RV. And they're sitting inside playing cards. So you get a couple of really, really drunk farmers come up with their shotguns in the middle of the night, hooting and hollering and you know, taking pot shots at the campers. Like, that's the biggest riot you end up with up there. So
yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but that's cool. Riot. Oh, man, I wish I'd seen a riot.
Well, you know, in the, you know, the '60s, Kent State, you know, that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, very, very different.
That's what his job was. But you, up cool. You're not dealing with that stuff.
No, most of what we were dealing with, I mean, it was all on base stuff, but it was either domestic disputes, people getting really plastered, generally causing domestic disputes, or people sleeping with other people's spouses while their spouses were away on, you know, deployments or stuff like that. Also, generally related to alcohol. There are three things to do in North Dakota: drink, play bingo, and cheat on your spouse. Those are the three recreational activities up there.
Wait a second. You guys don't have curling in, like, North Dakota?
No. No, we don't. And the funny thing is, as much as people joke about curling, it would probably bring a whole new level of excitement to North Dakota. They really need to get on the ball there.
I've always wanted to try curling.
Really?
Yeah. I think it looks awesome.
I do, too. I think it looks cool.
It does.
I've tried it once. It's really social and it's really hard. It's skill based, right?
It does
and
look hard.
And I bet it'd be social. Even better with beer.
Oh, it looks like it would be such. I don't know about the beer thing.
You know, it's an Olympic sport.
No. Yeah,
curling is when you have the broom, right?
Well, I think the other guys have the broom and you have the rock, which is the puck. Am I getting the terminology right, Joel?
Yeah, fairly. It's not a puck. It's a rock. You got
it's a rock.
Right?
And then
you
got the house down at the other end, right? And you try to put the rock in the house to score points. Or to be clear, I only know all this stuff because of the Jonathan Colton song "Curl," which is all about
from the last Olympics.
No, this is all about this United States Olympic curling team person who's trying to finally take the gold back from Canada and yeah.
Well, at least it's not baseball.
That's true. Hey, I'll take curling over baseball any day.
Ooh, that fight, right?
Yeah, that was the reference. Okay.
I heard something about that. What? I missed the entire thing.
Did you have to punch him so hard?
What happened? No, seriously, I heard there's a fight.
There's a history, the backflip from last year's playoff, right? Okay. It was a horrible game, and there was a huge brawl. Batista got decked by I can't see his name. Odor? Sports guy.
You're right. Okay. It's right.
But it happened at the same time the Raptors clinched game 7 like 2 nights ago. So you have two major sports stories happening in Canada, and Canadians just went nuts over it.
Yes, they did.
Wait a minute. So
Twitter was ablaze that night, I can tell you that.
So again, what happened? Someone punched someone else? Like, that's it?
It was a full deck. It was a good, like really great punch to the face. The
in
guy
baseball.
Has glasses and is like even his gum is.
It was in baseball.
I mean, you expect that in hockey. Well, you don't really expect
it
in hockey anymore.
No, it was in baseball
but...
because the was it a Cardinal that slid in too hard?
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what the backstory is. But it's Batista who actually slid in the second base and tried
to
wreck the guy out.
Batista slid in too hard. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now wait a minute. Baseball is one of the few sports I've actually played. Now, granted, it was as a kid, but That doesn't make any sense to me. Sliding in too hard. You slide into the base. How hard you do or don't slide into the base shouldn't matter because you have the right of way.
Yeah,
the other guy is supposed to get out of your
way. The idea is he was going to get out anyways, so he was taking a run at him. It was at the end of the game, and there's a history between these teams, which is the Texas Rangers and the Toronto Blue Jays. So
okay, so I got to ask this: who won the fight? Because A,
the Rangers did by far.
Oh, okay. Shoot. I was going to say I like Toronto Blue Jays, and B, like I can't say that I love watching people from Texas be put in their place on the podcast because we probably have a lot of Texas listeners. Never mind. Scratch that last part.
And yeah, and as I'm sorry, it's Rizikia from the chat room. He matches all because the bat flip last year and it just boiled over again. And this is the last time they were playing each other this season.
Okay.
We spent 10 minutes talking about sports. That's amazing.
I know.
Wow.
First time in last time.
Then baseball.
You started with curling.
You want to talk about hockey or I don't know, darts?
Hey, I'm okay with hockey. I actually, you know, as much as I diss sports, I'm okay with hockey. I don't enjoy it enough to keep up with the statistics and the teams and stuff like that. But I will go to a hockey game and I will enjoy watching it. Absolutely.
Eric, your sports non-knowledge cracks me up, by the way.
Well, thank you. You can't say non-knowledge. There are plenty of sports that I am aficionado of, and I am actually very knowledgeable of.
When you were talking about the Super Bowl the other day, and you were like, whatever the Super Bowl was, it cracked me up.
Yeah, the whole soccer thing, I just nodded. But miniature golf? Dude, I can rock some miniature golf, all right? And I don't mean like rock like curling, though I tell you what, if you combine curling with miniature golf, you've got an Olympic sport there, let me tell you.
Is that like a new drinking game? Or?
I think it would be cool. Have like a miniature golf course, but like all ice covered. And then it's like you got to like ramp the rock up around different stuff. And
we always thought about having full contact mini golf. You know, that's a whole different thing.
That would be cool, too. Well, and if you combine it with curling, then it would be on ice. Then you have the hockey side of...
With a big stone.
See, we have some awesome ideas here. I'm telling you, if there's anybody listening from Lucasfilm, you need to bring us on for one of the Star Wars films.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
No, easily. Yeah, they need help.
Yeah.
Yeah, because pod racing is so passe now. Really,
I know. You know? And what's going on Hoth right now? Nothing. And why is that? Because nobody's paying any attention to it. Dude, we could make a whole movie about Hoth and it would rock. And nobody believes it because it's just the furthest thing from people's mind right now. And it's sad.
You notice, you know, on Echo Base, right? Okay, you have this big, giant military base, but where's the sports? Right. They should be playing hockey when they're on downtime, you know, or
skiing,
doing
full contact skiing. I mean, yeah, it's a shame. It really is. Pod racing. What about speeder racing? I mean, you got all those air speeders that are fully decked out as snow speeders. You've already adapted them for the cold. Use those. And they have guns on them. How can you do racing with, like, not have guns on your vehicles, too? It's Star Wars.
Oh. Be a lot more fun.
Yes.
Polo with tauntauns. Think about it.
Oh, yep, Joel, you're on something there.
Yeah.
See, that should be its own separate podcast, you know, Star Wars sporting events.
Ping pong Star Wars equivalent. Or billiards. We could do ping pong billiards. I mean, you need bouncier billiard balls and better alliterations. But, yeah, we could make that work. I can't believe we spent this much time talking about sports. This is, like, not right.
The first.
I know.
And the last. Well,
yeah, this is like a guy's locker room talking about things. This is amazing.
Yeah, I didn't want to go full Star Wars on you guys, you know, immediately. So.
You got to hold back. You don't want to get it all out in the first episode because that's. Yeah.
I want to wait a few months.
Exactly.
Then I'll go full, full Star Wars on you.
Then you go full geek.
Yeah, because, you know, if you do it too early, after off the call, we're going, oh my God.
this guy's super fan.
What's up with that Joe guy? It's like we like Star Wars, but this guy really likes Star Wars. Man,
I don't want to be too embarrassing.
Yeah,
is it wrong that I still buy Mark Hamill screensaver on my lock screen of my phone since last year?
No? Yeah, Yeah, it is. Well, I think I might still have my R2-D2 one.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no, I put the Millennium Falcon back on. Oh, well.
Where's my man Chris at?
He's still here.
Yeah.
He's very quiet.
Yeah, no, sorry.
He's in a corner shaking his head.
I like that.
He's going, wow, that Joe guy. No,
just Chris. Mr. Chris.
He's sitting on the floor, but he's got his arms wrapped around his knees. He's rocking back and forth.
Please don't tell me don't that me your this. New job, they this. Immediately told you to sweep the bathroom, and you're like, what's going on here?
No, they didn't. Trust me.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, I was worried about that.
What is your new job?
I am an intern at the State Museum.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been all right so
far. That doesn't sound good.
Now, Chris, don't tempt me into making West Virginia jokes because I don't actually abide by most of them, but I do feel obligated to make them. That's the problem. I don't even really believe in them. So if you're telling me it's like not all that good, now it's like,
I mean, it's fine. It's just today I spent all day doing data entry on Excel, you know, it gets boring.
It does.
Well, okay, so they're not making you sleep. Podcast. They're making you do data entry, which is the sweeping of computer work.
Pretty much, yeah.
The modern sweeping.
Modern sweeping.
Data sweeping.
Data sweeping.
Yeah.
So, Chris, I take it you don't dress up for your internship?
I do, yeah.
What do you dress up as?
Maz Kanata?
What do I dress up as?
Yeah, he said you'd dress up.
you mean like in a
it's a museum. I thought that's what people do.
You're like a costume.
I've seen
Darth Vader. Interpreter.
I've seen the Night at the Museum movies. I know how this works. I mean,
no, it's not quite like that.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Mike might make my day a little bit more exciting.
Well, yeah. Though I don't know, the second and third movies maybe not, but all right. I've run out of sports references, you know, being the sports expert that I am. I don't 9:21. I should probably start working on show notes at some point too. That's the funny thing. I mean, I have stuff for the show, I just don't really have them compiled into proper notes, but
Eric,
yes,
that's the number one reason that I support this show, actually,
is because I'm so lame when it comes to
you have to do work for free, and it's and I want to support as much as I can.
Thank you, man, that's awesome. Thank you.
It's like you're thinking about like, oh, I have to do this work, and you're like, wait, I don't get paid to do any of this work. Wait a minute.
No, I really really don't. And there's a lot more than just the show notes and stuff too. But I mean, to be fair, I got to say, Chris does a lot of stuff on the back end. I feel kind of abusive toward Chris sometimes, actually. No, I'm serious. Hey. I do. I'm like, I don't want to do, hey, Chris, do you want to do this? And he's always like, sure. And I'm like, that's really awesome. Except I didn't want to do it myself. And now I feel like a scumball.
Hey, that's how I got on to this.
Well, yeah, but you're here now. It's not like we need to keep abusing you. I mean, you're not an intern anymore. You're like a full host.
Chris. You keep going, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, you should have seen me at Celebration. I was a workhorse, man.
Oh, dude, you were. Seriously. Man,
how you do it.
Ugh. I tell you what, if I could redo that last Celebration, man, I would give anything to redo that because I relied heavily on... I had a plan. I discussed it with people, and then the people I relied the most heavily upon completely threw it out the window.
Oh.
And then the people like Chris, who I wasn't counting on at all, showed up and just busted their butts with everything. And it's like, dude, you guys are awesome. And I completely should have like changed how we approached the entire convention. And I would give anything to go back and do it again. And someday... At one of these Celebration conventions somewhere, I'm going to have enough money saved up that I'm going to be able to get us a booth, and we are going to do recordings from the booth on and off throughout the day. Like, not like a, you know, constantly all the way through, but, you know, we're going to have a spot set up where we can do recordings and kind of use it as our home base. And we're going to do the same sort of a thing, but we're going to do it the right way this time.
Well, Eric, at 27 minutes in, can I give my little speech?
Absolutely.
You know, you guys were the first podcast that I ever found, you know, through Star Wars, because I had no clue. You know, I love Star Wars, but, you know, I quit for a long time, and then, you know,
I've been
years
there
later, you know, I found it again,
yeah,
kind of thing. And so when I heard, you know, your story after that kind of that weird thing happened when the Force Cast ended, and then
yeah,
you guys started, and I heard your story that you kind of gave, I was like, wow. Like, I know it's something just kind of like, I was like, this made me want to like help you guys. Does that make sense?
It does, because we need help.
Not like
psychologically.
That. Not like help. Like, you don't need help. But,
no, it does. And I, like, I don't know, because I don't ever. It's really weird, because every radio personality I've ever met has this sort of an ego to them. And I'm not like that alpha guy. Like, I'm not that alpha personality type person. So I can't really relate to that. I don't think that highly of myself. And I strongly believe that whatever skill I actually have at podcasting, it's only because I've been doing it for over a decade now. And I've just eventually finally figured out how to do it. I imagine a lot of other, well, Lou, you've been doing it far less than I have, and you're good at it. And Chris, you've been doing it less than I have, and you're good at it. And me, it took me over a decade. So
no, well, that's the thing. Like you are amazing at it. And Lou is amazing at it. And Chris is getting better and better every time he goes on with you guys.
Oh, he absolutely is.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's so fun to hear you guys.
Well, thank you. I mean, that means a lot. I don't know how to take compliments.
You would. So I'll give it to you in the way that I think you guys have no ceiling in the fact that Lou and your crew kind of plays the bad guy in a fun way. And then Eric, you kind of play like the nerdy, like good guy. And then Chris plays this young, like emo guy. And and in total, you guys have this like really rad, like
chemistry
that you have no ceiling.
So what you're saying is we're high, like it's podcast, or we're podcasting high. Is it?
I kind of like that.
I just think
you
guys have like the perfect, the perfect mix.
Well, thank you.
I think you guys have a perfect mix.
Thank you.
I can get behind that compliment, because it means that, like, you know, Chris and Lou are also like, you know, I tell you what, Chris, I apologize for singling Lou out here. I'm doing only because I've been podcasting with him for longer. But if you guys have ever seen the Howard Stern movie Private Parts.
Yes, sir.
And it's like about him, you know, kind of coming up in radio and stuff. And then when he's off the mic, he's like this kind of like loser who's just kind of like, no, please, just give me a chance. Please don't leave me. I'll fix things and stuff like that. So for me, Lou, and he's already rolling his eyes because he knows where I'm going with this. Lou is my Robin Quivers. Okay. Like if he were, first of
yes.
all, brilliant.
That's
Robin
so
Quivers,
rad.
If you yes. know anything about her in real life, she is like Mensa level intelligent and quick-witted and actually funny in her own right and all of this kind of stuff. And then you've got Howard Stern, who's basically this bumbling oaf who, you know, he keeps noise going through the microphone, but, you know, he can't really do it solo because that would just be boring. And when Robin in the movie tries to leave, he realizes like, oh, that's the end of me right there. That can't happen. Like, that has to not happen. So for me, Lou is kind of like my Robin Quivers in the sense that it seems like he doesn't talk as much as I do. But then like when he says stuff, it makes more sense than what I say. And then, like I said before, Chris, I mean, we're coming. I mean, we just passed about a year.
I know.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. having you on the air, Chris.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and you basically did start out as what was effectively an intern of sorts. We never called you that, and I don't think of people that way, but, and man, you work your butt off, and then you're also good on the microphone. That's the other thing. Like, we had you fill in a couple of times, and I got to say, there are a lot of people who are really good on the page, you know, web page or on paper, and when it comes to writing, they just don't really have much to say when they're on the microphone.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard.
It is.
That is so hard. That is the number one thing. And Chris got so much better.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say, Celebration, I think, getting on the microphone there a little bit too probably helped.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, it's a tough thing because it was like 6 months or 9 months before I could breathe when I was podcasting. I'd be like, when do I breathe? I just don't know what I'm doing here. I'd be at the end of the episode and be like, oh my God. Oh, jeez.
When I first started podcasting, like for what would later be known as the Forcecast, but when it was just, you know, the podcast at theforce.net, because I'm awesome with names, I was doing it solo and I would script out the entire show and that would take hours. And then I'd record it, but I'd be reading the script. And I was really impressed with myself because people always believed it wasn't scripted. So I thought, okay, I've really got a talent for that because that's hard to pull off. But the problem was, as I was reading the script, I would have to like reread things a few times. I'm like, oh, I completely fumbled that up. And it was almost more like how I imagine novice audiobook narrators end up starting out, where, you know, audiobook narrators, if they say something wrong, they just do another take, basically. And then if you're new at it, you probably do a billion takes. And that's kind of what I was doing with the podcasting. And then on top of that, afterwards, for every hour of recording I did about 3 hours of editing. I would trim out all of the pauses and all of the dead air. I would get rid of any ums or uhs. If there were any sound of me breathing on the microphone, I would cut that out. And I used to trim it down so, so tightly. And it probably took me a few years to realize that that was okay from a production point of view. But really, if you're looking to converse with other people, and that's really more the type of show I'm comfortable with, you need to have it feel like a conversation. And in a conversation, there are pauses, whether for emphasis or because people are thinking of what to say next. And there are, ums, like I just had there when I was trying to think of what to say. That it makes it feel more like a natural conversation. So, I mean, I had a lot of learning when I was starting out podcasting. It probably took me a few years now podcasting itself was new back then too. And there weren't really a lot of other good examples to go by, but, I have to say that I'm excited about the fact that a lot of the people that we've brought on to, whether it be Chris on Echo Base or Justin on the Forcecast or, different people on different shows, we've been really fortunate that almost all of them end up getting up to speed really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's exciting for me because I didn't.
Yeah.
I think chemistry helps too.
True.
Amen on that.
I remember my very first major recording thing was me and Kyle did an interview with Kevin Kiner. It was probably a year ago now, because I think I saw a post on my Facebook recently. And that was a very awkward, it was a good interview, but it was awkward too. And I was very nervous, but, you know, if we would have him back on now, it would be 10 times easier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, interviews. Oh, wow.
Sure.
Your first interview, it. I know exactly what you're talking about, Chris. It's like just, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like you're both panicking, but you're trying to do the opposite of panicking at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then,
And it doesn't help when it's someone you admire because,
right.
you know, you don't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah. Well, and for you, you're really into music. So Kevin Kiner, that, mm-hmm. you know. That had to have been a nightmare. I know for me, my first one was Mike Stackpole.
Oh, wow.
It gets better. So I didn't realize at the time what type of person Mike is. And I mean that in a good way. I'll come back to that point. Don't worry. It's not a bad thing. But so I was only doing the podcast for the force.net, like for maybe, I don't know. I had maybe 4 or 5 episodes in the can. And I got an email from Mike Stackpole asking to be on the show. in the entire history of my podcasting career that, if not one of, like, I don't know if it would be like in the top five, the top three, or maybe just the absolute top moment that I've had in my podcasting career for Mike Stackpole, someone who I revered as a Star Wars fan and still do, for him out of the blue to contact me. And it was just like, wait a minute, people can be on my show and it can be people like him for reals. Like, it just, it didn't click. So I responded and I'm like, yes, sir. Please, sir, you can definitely be on my show and anytime you want. Yes, please. And the worst thing was, like, as a guy who was basically just recording with the equivalent of like a headset microphone and a laptop, then it hit me, and Skype didn't exist back then. Hangouts, Google Hangouts didn't exist back then. So it hit me, like, how do I actually record this with him? So I had to go to Radio Shack and buy like a telephone adapter thing that would then run the audio in through the computer. And then his audio was really, really low and there was a lot of static. And like, the production wise, it was a nightmare. But we sat and talked for probably two and a half hours. Now, later, I learned, he actually pointed this out to me, I think, during the show, but he's a little bit of a, not an attention whore, but like a self-promotion whore. Like, if he's got a project, he goes, like, all out in trying to advertise it and, you know, talk to people about it and stuff like that, which is fine. That's what you should do. And I was flattered that he came to me at the time for it. But, man, that was a kind of a scary interview. And then the next one that really kind of got me was very shortly after that. I went to Celebration and I'm interviewing people in person. And that was weird. So I'm interviewing, the first day I was there when they were setting up the interview hall, I was interviewing Peter Mayhew, Jeremy Bullock, Ray Park, and all of these other people. And it was like an out of body experience, because like, it's one thing to do that with someone over the phone. And then it's another thing to do it with, you know, hey, I just got done watching you on a big movie screen. And now you and I are sitting in folding chairs in a Whoa. Big echoey room thing. Like, you know, it was just really weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent there. Interviews really...
Not at all.
It's like, Chris, like what you just said, like, and you know, we should have Kevin Kiner on the show. We really haven't, you know, people have been asking, when are we going to have guests on and stuff like that. And after the logistical debacles of the Force Cast, I really wanted to make sure that we had a few months of the Random Chatter Network being solid and reliable and consistent. And I think now we're at the point where getting people on as guests and doing interviews will be a good thing. But Chris, like what you were saying with Kevin Kiner, if you had him on now you've kind of, you're more comfortable behind a microphone and you're more comfortable presenting questions in an interesting way to people.
Exactly.
It really is kind of a big step when you get to the point where you look at how you interview now and how you interviewed in your first interview, and you realize that the changes that you've made, because interviews are probably, to make an interesting interview, probably one of the trickiest things about podcasting, I think.
Mm-hmm. Eric, it's Joel here.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an interview just went in a complete crash and burn? It utterly just did not work for whatever reason.
Not content wise. I've been pretty lucky. And I think a lot of it is having a list of questions in advance that you know that you want to ask the person. I did have one that didn't really go too well. I was at Celebration 3, and the Autograph Hall was basically like a big high school gymnasium as far as like acoustically, you know, the big gymnasium ceiling, just one big rectangle. So the sound carried like mad. And I was interviewing someone, and it was a video interview because Philip Wise, the guy that owns TFN, Rebel Scum, the Vorcecast, Official Picks, who was handling all the autograph stuff at the time, he had a friend of his with a high, well, at, you know, what at the time was a really good high quality video camera. And so he wanted to do video interviews of a lot of this stuff too. And I think it was, I was interviewing the two brothers who played, played Kit Fisto and I can never pronounce the name. Is it Stacy Tin? The guy with the big curled horns, the two Jedi masters. They were in episode two together, and then in episode three, the timing didn't work out, and so the characters had scenes together, but it wasn't the two brothers at the same time. But anyway, I guess they were also, they like were some of the IT guys for Lucasfilm or something like that, but they also created the Survivor television series. Like, they were the guys that created that. So I'm sitting there interviewing them. I think it was them. And at the back corner, and this is like after the interview or the autograph hall hours had closed, in the back corner there is someone on a skateboard with two other kids, and then they broke out their skateboards and they're like making all this ruckus, and what? They got these little horns and stuff going, and like, and I'm sitting here interviewing them, and I keep glaring off camera to like some of the other guys with me, and I'm like, you know, I don't know how to give you a visual cue to go ask them to quiet down, but please do it. Well, it was Daniel Logan. And, you know, the guy who played the kid who played Boba Fett in episode two. Daniel Logan and a couple of friends of his, you know, were hanging out and having fun. But I mean, it was just like blaringly loud and it completely destroyed the interview. So it was, I mean, it was usable, and we kind of released it as like a, by the way, here's this sort of thing. It wasn't like a prominent episode or anything, but that was, thinking back, that was probably the most disastrous interview I've had. But then to be fair, I'm not as aggressive about getting guests and interviews as I should be. On the Forcecast, that was always something that Eric Geller did. And even now in Random Chatter, I kind of rely on Chris for that because I'm shy.
You're busy.
No, honestly, I'm shy. I can't blame it on being busy. I am busy, but like, I can't blame it on that. It's that I just don't take that initial. I start like second guessing how I word things or whatever, or am I really going to be able to get them for an interview? And the reality is, as I've learned, really, all you have to do is just ask. And that was something I learned from Eric Geller and then had reinforced by Justin Bolger. Just ask them. And a lot of times they'll say yes. And the ones that say no, it's okay, because so many of them will just say yes that you don't have to worry about the ones that say no. Now, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to end up with Harrison Ford on the podcast. But
have you asked him?
No. To be fair, well, I mean, if there's anybody that hates interviews, the two people I can think of would be Harrison Ford and Samuel Jackson. So, and I can understand why, too. But, yeah, sometimes you just have to, like, hey, would you be willing for an interview? You don't have to present it like, you know, we're a big network and we have 150,000 downloads a month and blah, 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 blah. No, just say, hey, we're big fans. We have an audience who are dedicated fans of yours. Could you, like, you know, spare 30 minutes and, you know, we'll work around your schedule, but would that be okay? Just say, you know, a quick phone interview. And they almost always say yes. I had arrangements to get Weird Al Yankovic on the show back in Celebration 3, and then it fizzled out time-wise, and that's the one I probably regret not following through with the most. But yeah, a lot of time, like today, just on a whim, I'm a big fan of Riff Tracks, the guys yes. who were from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
I understand it.
And they tweeted today because they had their big live event tonight. And I retweeted them and quoted it and said something along the lines of, you know, I really try not to spam on Twitter, but maybe this once it'd be okay, right? And they retweeted it and they started following me. And I'm like, well, you know,
yes,
there's no time like the present. So I sent him a direct message and I said, hey, you know, we've been plugging for you guys for years. If there's any way we could get any of the crew on the network, you know, that'd be great. You know, we could talk about, you know, kind of behind the scenes stuff that people don't realize, you know, all the work you guys put into. We can talk about the new smartphone app, because I know they want to be plugging that, and you get free Star Wars riffs if you do that. And of course, we have a few people who are into Star Wars in our listenership.
And, maybe.
Yeah, a couple, one or two. And I said, you know, we would just like to hang out with you guys and find out more about, like, you guys, you know, your film fans. What kind of films do you like? What are your favorite movies and stuff? Is there any way we could work that out? And I have not yet logged back into Twitter to see if there was a response or what it may be, but I have to say there's as good a chance as not that they'll say, yeah, sure.
They actually followed Random Chatter, so.
Yeah, yeah. That's the account I sent it through.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Eric, I love the Mystery Science 3000 stuff.
Yeah.
I always loved it. Been a big fan.
They're bringing it back. You know that, right? Like, they're actually relaunching MST3K.
Yes.
It's going to have...
Well, through you, I know that.
Yeah, well,
but,
see.
But otherwise, no, I wouldn't never have a clue. But thank you for keeping us up to date with that stuff.
Well, no problem. But, I mean, again, in a sense of humility, I just read it off a website and then, you know, recorded it as I'm reading it out loud. I mean, I...
But, Eric, we're all too busy to deal with all the nerd stuff that's available.
Yeah, but that's your fault. Don't make it sound like that makes me a good person just because you guys are all too busy to keep up with us on your own.
Come on.
Like, if you guys had real lives, then I wouldn't be very special, and that's what you guys need to do. You need to despecialize me and Lou and Chris. Yeah.
Well, you know, Lou's too busy going on all these cruises and stuff.
I know, right? So, how many of us did he take on the cruise with? I missed that episode. Joe, do you remember?
One person on the cruise with me. Yeah.
Are you guys supposed to record a podcast tonight?
Well, the way I'm looking at it is, I mean, we probably have enough content now to just release this as a random chatter episode, honestly. So
then you should keep going then.
Okay. Well, but I mean, that's up. That's up.
We
to
have
you.
A new network producer there. Okay.
Yeah. Cracking the whip. I mean, if you and Joel have any other questions, we'll answer them, but.
Okay, I wrote some down here.
Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh.
Uh-oh.
I should have kept my mouth shut. Joel, do you have any questions for us?
You know, I think
yeah, start with Joel.
Oh, yeah. Questions. Well, what do you find what do you enjoy most about podcasting? Let me put it that way.
Making Lou and Chris cringe.
You do a really good job at that, too.
I do. I've had lots of practice. Lots of practice. Lou to have to change the prescription for his eyewear because his eye muscles are so tired from all the eye rolling he has to do when I make jokes. And I want Chris to have to come on the show, and when you say, Chris, how you doing tonight? He says, I'm doing great, instead of saying, I'm doing great. That's what I want.
So you see it as a challenge, then?
Yeah, yeah. No, it is a challenge. No, I'm sorry. What was the question? What was the question again? Seriously, though?
Now, what do you find most pleasurable about podcasting, or what does it for you? You know, like, why you're still doing it? You've been podcasting for, you know, at least 10 years now, yeah. Right? Okay. And you deal with the good and the
and
bad
original.
And with everyone else, and you come up with some really good shows, and what keeps you in the game?
I've been doing a lot of talking. Chris and Lou, you want to chime in first?
Sure. I enjoy doing it because it's a way to give back a little bit, and it's a way to interact with fans that have the same likes that I do. So for me, it's just about connections with everybody else out there maybe getting, actually having somebody else curate the news for me like Eric, which is a big help. You know, I don't have to do a lot of work. He does a lot of that work for me, so it works out pretty well. Chris, what about you?
Well, probably a lot of reasons. The top three, I would say, is one, it gives me opportunities that I didn't, or that I wouldn't have experienced before. I mean, I would have, without the Force cast, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to join TFN, which then wouldn't have made me be able to have a good time at Celebration.
You would have still had a good time at Celebration.
Yeah. I'll say.
A different good time.
Yes, exactly. Second thing probably is the people that I get to talk to and meet. I really enjoy talking with Eric and Lou every week, and that doesn't include, you know, all the countless people that I talk to on Twitter, both through my own account and the Echo Base and Random Chatter accounts. And then the third is kind of a personal one. I mentioned this in the chat room earlier, but I have anxiety issues. So podcasting, believe it or not, really helps me control that and bring it down to a healthy level. So, yeah, that's
Chris.
That's what I like about it.
Is that agoraphobia or no?
Is that what?
Agoraphobia?
I have no idea.
Like the fear of going outside?
Yeah. Or fear of crowds.
I'm guessing, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it more like a social anxiety sort of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can deal with crowds to an extent. Oddly enough, Celebration didn't bother me, but sometimes I can go in something like a mall and just feel like really overwhelmed. So
you never heard the term agoraphobia?
No, I've actually never heard that before.
I have, but I think it's a different sort of thing than what Chris is describing. Chris, I didn't really know that about you, and I wasn't really reading the chat room here. I have it open, but it's on a laptop that's a little further away from me because I'm kind of leaning back in my chair here. But I didn't know that about you, but I can understand it, and I can relate. Something a lot of people don't know about me is I've actually spent most of my adult life medicated for social anxiety disorder.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I can do this on a microphone, but I mean, I could do it in person with Lou and Chris because I know Lou and Chris now. They're like, you know, they're friends. But I like, that's kind of what I was getting at earlier. Like even the Mike Stackpole thing, I don't like telephones at all. Like I will order Domino's pizza online, but I won't call the really good pizza delivery places here to order because it's not online. I'd have to place a phone call. Like telephones just, ugh.
Yep.
But so the Mike Stackpole interview, it was a little better because it's not like a phone call, like placing a phone call for something. But when I was there at Celebration in person with these people, it was petrifying for me. And now, because I've been podcasting for so long, I feel like the anxiety is still there a lot of times, but I know how to work with it and how to work around it and how to kind of put a leash on it. And sometimes it does mean me kind of putting on a face or a persona, not so much like I'm being fake and it's not really me, but kind of pretending I'm more confident than I am. And it ends up having the perception of having the same result as if I actually had the confidence I'm pretending to have. So honestly, for me, that is probably one of the biggest reasons that I podcast is it's kind of a combination of what Lou said about wanting to be part of the community, but actively contributing to the community. And for me, that's a big reason that I do it. But also, as a side effect, it's been so therapeutic and beneficial to me that I think that that's, I don't know that that's a reason I do it, but that gives me a lot of incentive to continue doing this sort of thing. I feel like I found a niche where I fit and I can present ideas and I can talk, and doing it on a microphone, I'm able to express a lot of this stuff that if I were sitting in a room with a few people, I probably would not have been able to express in the past. So I think now I'm at a point where I probably could if I were in that scenario.
Yeah, there's an old saying, you know, fake it till you make it, right?
So, yes, exactly.
And that's great. Well, let me ask you this. If there's people out there right now listening to this podcast, and they suffer from same or similar issues of anxiety and just trying to have a voice, trying mm-hmm. to actually use your voice, and having just being anxious about that, and trying to start their own podcast or get on some sort of medium or that they can do it. What would you tell them? Like, what would you recommend saying to these people? Because I know myself, I do have a slight speech impediment. Sometimes I stutter. Mm-hmm. I spent 5 years in speech therapy when I was a child, and I fought through, and that's kind of who made me who I am mm-hmm. because of the adversity.
Right.
You know, I'm never going to be a radio broadcaster for BBC News or CBC News or NPR, but hopefully I can still have a voice.
But, you know,
of course, Joe,
I kind of feel like, well, to answer your question directly, my advice to people who are familiar with us would be to listen to like this episode or listen to, I would say listen to the most recent episode of Flick Fights, where we're talking about Captain America, Civil War, or listen to something where like this last episode of The Outer Rim with me, Chris, and Lou, and just listen to that as if it's a conversation amongst people sitting in a room together. And then, as a point of comparison, go back and listen to the first Forcecast episode I did with Eric Geller, which was a train wreck. You asked if I have ever had any interviews go badly, and I've been lucky, not skilled. It's been luck that I haven't, but I have had some episodes go badly. And that first one between me and Geller was, that wasn't just like a train wreck. It was like a whole train system becoming demolished. It was horrible. So listen to those two and compare. I'm comfortable talking with Lou and Chris because they're like friends for me. But that first episode with Eric Geller, we were strangers and we didn't have a rapport. We didn't have chemistry. We didn't have any conversational acuity, a conversational awareness of, you know, when one of us pauses a certain way, it means that we're still thinking about what we want to say next. And when we pause a different way, it means that, you know, someone else should probably jump in and speak up. And people do that naturally in a conversation. So what people would need to do if they wanted to start a podcast, but maybe they had some of these feelings of anxiety and such, find some friends. Find people that you have been friends with for a while. Podcast with them. Because mm-hmm. two things are going to happen. Number one, the chemistry is going to be there. And as a result, the personalities are going to be there. And then number two, the content that you're going to talk about, it's going to come more easily. And because it comes more easily, it's going to be more interesting. Because the reason, listen, there are a lot of Star Wars podcasts out there. And there are a lot of really, really good ones. We're not the only game in town. And I'm happy about that for the sake of the community. But when you listen to them, the good ones are the ones where A, they have good content, and B, they have good chemistry. There are personalities there that people go back to. You can get the same content a bunch of different places. I mean, listen, on Echo Base tonight, we're going to talk about the fact that Pablo Hidalgo pointed out that Snoke is definitely not Plagueis. So are about 37 other major Star Wars podcasts.
Killing me, Eric.
It's not a spoiler. It's a non-spoiler. It's something that's not going to happen, right?
You know, I'm just kidding.
I know. But the point is, we're not the only people that are going to be talking about that. That's not an exclusive. You could listen to Coffee with Kenobi and hear that. You could listen to Now That's Podcasting from MakingStarWars.net and hear that. It's just, there are different personalities. The people that listen to us probably listen to us because they like the way that Chris, Lou, and I talk amongst each other. And then hopefully also some of the unique insights that we bring up about the topics. But the topics are not unique. So mm-hmm. what you need to do as a podcaster, if you're starting out, just get with friends. Get with people you already communicate well with. And you already share a passion for certain topics. That's your podcast.
Yep.
That's it.
I actually have two things that I would advise people. The first is be like, when you find a podcast or podcasts that you like, be active with them and mm-hmm. you know, even if it's just through social media, tweet them, email them, you know, listen to the shows, you know, be interactive in that way. That's how I was with the Force Cast. And because that was my first Star Wars podcast and my first podcast in general.
That's how you got started, right?
Yeah.
And Lou, how did you get started in podcasting?
Basically the same way. I was interacting with you guys on Random Chatter at the time and asked if I could help or asked if I could be involved in it. Maybe I was begging. I can't remember offhand, but you guys had me on as a guest on Lost Chatter for a couple episodes and it just snowballed from there.
I did basically the same thing. I mean, I had randomchatter.com and I did my own little, like, I tried podcasting there, but I probably had like 10 viewers on my blog. It was Random Chatter with a blog back then. Wasn't a big thing, but I did the same exact thing. I went to theforce.net and said, hey guys, you might not have heard of this new podcasting thing, but it's cool and I can do it for you guys if you'd be willing to have me. And they did. And then when I left 10 years later, not quite 10 years later, when Jimmy and Jason left to form Rebel Force Radio, I didn't even know they were leaving. That's the thing. Jay Shepard and Lou and I were doing Random Chatter. And when they announced the new Star Wars thing, probably within 24 hours of that, I said, hey, Jay, if TFN needs like a janitor or something, or an unpaid intern, I'd be happy to like do anything just to get back into that family again. And he said, well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because Jimmy and Jason just left. And but that's the thing. If you get involved and you get engaged, that's a really good way to get into podcasting too. If you're looking to jump into that. But I didn't mean to hijack what Chris was saying there. I just meant to preach it, sister, because
hear
that's
your story.
But that's the thing. It's my story. It's Lou's story. It's Chris's story.
Yes.
It's Eric Geller's story. It's Justin Bolger's story. So many of us, that's how we got into it. And Chris, did you say you had a second thing too?
Yeah. My second thing was, it's pretty simple, is to not give up. Even if you feel like you have a bad first show, or even if you're like, you're just guest hosting or doing some kind of bonus thing. I know my very first time ever doing anything recording, I did a soccer podcast back in 2013. But that wasn't nearly as popular as the Forcecast was. And then I was at the highest Patreon level at the time, so I got to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And that was the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done. But it was, you know, like I said, it was a lot easier because I was already comfortable with, I think it was with Eric and Justin.
Yeah.
And
I remember those first few hangouts that you were on with us. Or no, they weren't hangouts. They were we had you on the show to like ask questions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you were nervous as hell. I mean, you were.
Yeah.
But I the funny thing to me about it was, and one of the reasons that I was like excited to get you further was, I remember the first one you had really good questions, but you were obviously nervous. And then by like the third time we did it, you were a lot more smooth about it. And like when we asked, well, Chris, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
It was more natural for you to come back and respond.
So true.
Yeah. No. I would just say not to give up because, you know, I'm glad I didn't give up and let that, you know, bring me down and stuff. So
Lou, what do you think about all this stuff?
About sleep right now.
No, I'm not asleep.
Either asleep or drunk. One of the two. I don't know.
I may be old, but come on. In terms of how to get involved or?
Yeah, how to involve in some of your own personal struggles and how you overcame them. You know, was it, you know, no one's going to be a natural broadcaster or a podcaster or a TV personality, right? Okay. And it's great hearing these stories because it's so valuable to the listeners. But do you have anything to add? If you want to spin on it?
A lot of the same things. I mean, it comes with practice. It comes with getting more comfortable on the mic and being used to it. When I first was, talking with Eric about, you know, what I could do with the network, how I could be involved. And he said, hey, do you want to be, on Lost Chatter? I was like, great. And I was like, damn, now what do I do? You know, it's like, you know, how do I even approach this? And it was a lot of coaching from Eric going on in the background, and it worked out well in the end. And it was just you know, a big learning curve, but it's definitely something that if you, you know, have a desire, it's like anything else. You know, just keep at it. You know, perseverance holds true, and will, you know, get you where you want to be in the end, hopefully.
And I
want to it's podcasting or anything else.
Well, yeah. I want to throw in one thing real quick here, Joel, to just kind of reiterate what we've been saying, but put a different spin on it. I mean, you've been a Patreon donor with us for a long time. We really appreciate that, like, a lot. And you've...
So do my creditors. So
yeah. and, you know, you've done Hangouts with us before, and you're in the Slack channel with us, and we banter a lot in the Slack channel. And honestly, I don't... Like, I did not know that you had any sort of speech impediment issues or stuttering or anything until you started talking about the speech impediment issues and stuttering. And that's also the only time so far in this recording that I think you actually have really stuttered. And what that tells me is, like, everything else around it, you've been talking naturally, and you've been throwing out ideas, and you've been conversing. Like, and to answer your question about, like, people, how do you podcast and start up something like that and yet get around some of the anxieties you have? That's really how. I think that a good way to get into podcasting, if you don't have those hurdles, is to do exactly what Chris just said. Get involved. And you know, like, we're looking for staff all the time. We're looking for new show ideas. Forcecast was too. Other networks are as well. And that's how. That's the easiest way to vet people is to do that sort of thing. But then if you do have some kind of hurdle to get past, find other people with whom you feel natural, you feel comfortable, and then those things don't pop their, you know, they don't pop their heads as much. They don't pop up. And when they do, it doesn't really interfere with the show. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense to me. And I think it's great. And like I think I mentioned earlier, is like I really like having a voice and hearing other people's voices, right? I'm all about insight. I want to know what the person's all about.
And you're listening to the wrong podcast shows, my friend. If you're into insight, I don't know what you're doing on the Random Chatter Network. My God.
Lou and Chris has some insights.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Me, I just rant about Deadpool all day.
So. Thank you, Joel.
Deadpool was amazing, by the way.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, don't get him started. Come on.
Started? When did I stop? You make it sound as if I paused at some point.
Boy, was that movie.
That would be
pretty
negligent.
Good.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next one.
Yep, pretty good. There you go. Pretty
I
good.
Can't wait to see how X-Men Apocalypse tanks. So that we can continue rubbing it in Fox's face that, listen, you have to, and in all seriousness, Deadpool joking aside, you have to stay true to the material. You can't have it both ways. You can't pretend to be catering to the fans and throwing in a character like Psylocke and then, you know, having her have her traditional costume and, oh, hey, all you fans out there, we've got Psylocke. But then on the flip side, like, have nothing about the actual character hold true. No British
Lou?
Accent. She has almost no dialogue.
Lou, I have no idea who Psylocke is.
That's okay.
Is that bad? Is that bad?
It's not
bad.
No. But the point is...
Google it.
But I guess, though, like, if they want to cater the X-Men films to people who are not as familiar with all the characters like yourself, that's great. I fully support that, but do it the right way. Don't pretend that you're doing like what Deadpool did, which was, it was staying perfectly true to the comics, though a little more adult, because obviously you can't get quite that level of raunch in the comics, but
right.
But staying true to the nature of the character and then exposing the new people to what the trueness of the character is, rather than trying to play both sides of the fence at the same time, that always runs you into the ground. You cannot do that.
Right.
And Fox still hasn't learned their lesson. And I'm hoping, I was hoping that X-Men Apocalypse would be good. I because I want a good X-Men film. I really want it to succeed, but if it is as all the reviews say, then if it's going to tank at all, I want it to tank hard. I want it to smack Fox in the face.
As long as
and
it makes $120 million first, then it can do whatever it wants.
Oh, dude, your Captain America Civil War has already passed 300 domestically. You're fine.
I know, but I'm still in third place.
I don't know that you still are.
I'm pretty sure I am.
You're not right? First
because it only hit 390 or 290 by the weekend.
No, he's not in first place quite yet because Nate still had a few that Nate had Jungle Book, which has also been doing well.
Yeah, Nate was a sneaky good. Yeah, that was sneaky good.
Nate did good.
He's got nothing left though.
That's true.
Flash in the pan, he's done.
I don't know about Flash in the pan though. He picked up a lot of like low performers, but for a steal. Like for a penny a piece. I mean, he got a lot of things nobody else wanted, but that all have kind of added up. As opposed to Mike, who didn't pick up very much, but man, he held out for Finding Dory, and I think that's gonna.
Well, I got a couple of steals, but they didn't do real well.
That's true. I know, Chris.
I mean, I got what did I get? I got Paradox for 7 that did 0. I got
the Green Room.
Let's see, Green Room for 7 that did like 2 million. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got Demolition for $3. Yeah, it did 2 million.
I think I had Get a Job for like 11 or 12. It was either that or Identicals, and both of them did 0. So
you had both those for
Get
5
a Job looked
11.
Great.
Hey, who had a Hardcore Henry? Anyways.
Hey, good film.
What did they pay for that? Ooh boy.
That's okay. Here's my spin on this, because of course I can spin anything. I'm the network director, so I can't win the first movie draft, because then it would kind of look like I rigged it all.
Sure.
As a way to just like, you know, self-importance and all that. So I have to not win.
Oh boy.
Well, it's true though.
Let's see. Civil War is sitting at just over 300 million.
There you go.
Woo!
But that's okay. I honestly am glad that this one was such a learning experience. And I apologize to Chris for that. But we're going to make it up to Chris, because he's, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know that like we can give him all of those dollars spent, but we're going to take and figure out a formula to take some of those dollars and add it into the next movie draft for him. It's kind of a compensation. I think that that's, I think that that's legitimately fair. I think that, you know, I think it's the least we can do. And it's the only way it's going to alleviate my guilt for him getting screwed so bad. Because, wow.
Yeah, I was expecting at least them to get, I don't know, a dollar, but...
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I can't believe this.
But, you know, Chris is a big boy. He can handle it.
I can't believe that some of these were direct-to-video. I mean, some of Identicals, yeah, maybe. But, like, Get a Job, Anna Kendrick, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like a brilliant movie. It really does.
Yeah.
And I have to wonder what it would have made if it saw a wide release. Like, it probably would have done pretty well. I mean, not, like, you know, gangbusters, but it would have held its own. I don't know. Anyway, like I said, learning experience. We knew that the first movie draft was going to be kind of rough. And it's funny because some of the biggest names in podcasting, specifically Tom Merritt, Brian Brushwood, they've been doing these movie drafts for ages now. And I've always wanted to do it, but I've never caught, like, I don't know where they do it now to actually kind of like figure out how they have it structured and all that. So, we're just kind of winging it, and this is our first one, and you know, it is what it is, and now we know how to make the next one better.
I don't know, I'm pretty good with this one.
Oh, go figure.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I think you'll do okay.
Two movies this weekend for me, so I'm coming out double barrel, you know. Yeah.
You might not do well, but you won't come in last place, Lou. That's the important thing.
No, I think I'm going to win. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you're going to win.
I think so.
Nathan knew it as soon as we wrapped. He's like, and lose one. We're done. Next season.
Although I am a little worried about Nate. Nate's total still way up there, but I think X-Men Apocalypse will put me over the edge, and Angry Birds will help. And
I think Angry Neighbors Birds will do better than even you expected it to. I just
who has Angry Birds?
Ludo.
I do.
Oh
yeah,
they are promoting the crap out of that movie.
Oh, I know, it's everywhere right now, which is kind of cool.
My son had no interest in it, and now he's being inundated
with
TV commercials, and he wants to go back to McDonald's and get the other Happy Meal toys he's missing, and now he's like all about, he's re-downloaded the apps to his iPad. Yeah, no, we're
just,
going to
just tell him to go see the movie. Just make sure he gets there.
Yeah, we're going to sneak in.
No, you're going to pay for it.
No, we're going to sneak in. You know, the fire doors. And the, you know that old trick, right? You just, yeah.
Well, you walk him backwards? Is that what you do?
I know a place online where I think I could get it. He'd love it because then he can watch it over and over again without having to buy multiple tickets to watch it over and over again. See, Lou, we got it all planned out. We're going to hook you up. It'll be all right.
What's the number for the RAAA?
Wrong organization.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, you're thinking the MPA.
MPAA? Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, RAAA is music.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I called them, they could put me in touch with the right people, though. I know this podcaster that's like pirating movies.
Sigh.
No.
Anybody, since we're kind of doing this anyway, you know, it's funny because I actually have been keeping a list of like questions that people have sent in or questions that people might want to like so that we could kind of like a self-interview sort of thing. But if there's anybody in the chat room, if they have any questions, you know, feel free to throw those in. Let me see if I've got Evernote up. Let me see if
Boxers.
I can find them. Not quite.
Oh,
what
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You know, it's funny. People don't realize this about me, but I'm actually less interested in Lou's underwear than one might think. I know, right? Like you would have never guessed it, but.
Okay. I may have a question.
I like long walks on the beach and.
in his boxers.
How long. Okay, here's the question.
Wait, now be careful.
No.
Be careful.
Wow.
We're not on the boxers
don't
thing.
Don't scare me.
Okay.
Now. How long have Eric and Lou known each other?
Since, I want to say about halfway through the run of Lost Chatter, which would have been back when Lost was on TV. Was it halfway through the run or was it later?
I think it was halfway through just about, yeah.
Yeah.
So what about 6 years ago, maybe seven, 6 years?
And
wait, that's it?
And get this, we did not meet in person until Celebration.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they live in the same state together.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Pretty soon it'll be the same house.
No.
I get the left side of the bed, though. That's all I'm saying. I want the window.
The wives, man.
Yeah. No, I met Lou the same day I met Chris, I think.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which is really, really strange because we had been recording for so long.
Yeah, and I actually met Nathan from Lost Chatter before I met you.
Yeah, me too.
I was down in Florida on business, and he was in Orlando, and we hooked up for a movie.
Yeah.
Go figure. Went to a movie, yeah.
Yeah. Big surprise there.
And it's weird, too, when you hear somebody's voice for so long, and even if you know what they look like meeting them in person and watching them talk with their mouth and hearing their voice is the weirdest thing.
Very bizarre. Yeah.
It's like weird. All this time I spend looking at your picture on this Skype window while you're talking, your lips don't actually move, but in real life, your lips move. Is that a medical condition or what do you have going on there? Is that you need to get that checked out? And you're in three dimensions.
TFN booth right before Celebration opened. And I just hear a voice in the background. I'm like, I had to think about it. I was like, that's Eric. And then I heard Lou, and I was like, okay, but I still didn't see them. And then I turned around, and I was like, oh, there they are. And then they were like, Chris. I was like, Eric. And it was on from there.
You know, that's another weird thing. And Chris, you're going to get to the point soon where this starts happening to you too. But at my first Celebration, I've only been to two of them, Celebration 3. I was walking down the hallway once, and you know, we didn't have like T-shirts made up and stuff like that. And someone said, hey, are you Eric? I'm like, yeah, what'd I do wrong? Oh, I recognized your voice from the show. And I didn't even know how to respond to that. I was just like, you what? Like, you're messing with me. There's no way you can like just be walking by in a crowded hallway at a convention, hear someone's voice, and then recognize that as being me. That's not even possible.
Okay, but Eric, I propose this. Next celebration that you attend,
uh-huh.
See how many people come up to you and ask for your autograph, okay? We're going to make this a thing.
Oh, my gosh. you know what? I would only do that if I had the money to pay them for my autograph, because like I would feel I feel like I'm ruining the piece of paper that they have me sign by scribbling on it.
Well, it could be not be a piece of paper. It could be like, I don't know, on their stomachs or, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Body, you know?
Yeah. moving on. But yeah, it's
I
will
actually
because...
second that, though. That was a very bizarre feeling of when we were at the TFA premiere.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah.
The opening night, Eric and I had been there all day kind of hanging out. We podcasted from the line and so forth. But I was up getting popcorn and, you know, somebody says, hey, are you Lou? And I'm like, yeah. Okay. Hey, how you doing? You know, it's like it just took me by surprise. It was very, very flattering. But
you checked to make sure you got your wallet. You didn't drop it. And they're like, right. It says you
find something with my name on it.
Yeah. Here? Yeah. It's. Well, and you and I were sitting in line, too, just chatting, and we had people like they were walking by. The one guy actually stopped and looked at us like in shock. And
yeah.
He said, are you guys with the Force Cast? And I'm like, yeah, but like he wasn't like he did like a double take and stopped. The people he was walking with continued walking, and then they turned around and looked at him like, what happened? Are you OK? It is the weirdest thing. And. I don't know.
I'm just waiting for that to happen to me because for some reason I just attract weird situations and awkward situations. And I just know that it's like the worst or the most awkward thing is going to happen to me. I just know it.
You'll be the one. Excuse me. Are you Chris MacGuffin?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'm Chris MacGuffin. Okay, we have a warrant for your arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. Can you turn around, please?
Or it could be, you know, are you Chris McGovern? No, yeah, you've been served.
Yeah. Wait, doesn't Chris have like a groupie in the chat room sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I have my
Joe.
Number one fan.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the same phrase that the woman in Misery used to use?
Yeah, number one fan.
I'm just saying.
That's a good point.
It was a good book.
Oh, that was probably one of Stephen King's best books, I think. That's a whole nother rant that I won't get into, though. But
oh, boy.
Yeah, you know you've made it when you have your own stalkers. And I got one death threat.
Oh.
And that's when I really knew. Like, I got it, and I'm like, okay, first, dude... Of the six emails you sent me so far, like you really truly are psychotic. And then it was also like, I don't feel like this guy actually has the ability to carry through with it. Like as someone who's worked in law enforcement before, I knew that I was, you know, pretty relatively safe that he wouldn't have any way of knowing how to find me. And so I never really, like he may have been serious, but I didn't feel like I was in serious danger at any point. But so the second thing I thought was, wow, if I'm so important to someone that they want to kill me, or at least wish that someone did kill me, I've finally made an impact. Like I matter now.
Impression.
This is awesome. Yeah. So that's when you know you've made it, when you get your first death threat.
Yes, I'm sure that's true.
That was a result of me explaining to them that he tried to get me to... this was a director and producer of a Lost documentary film that I had actually been sent a copy of to review on Lost Chatter. And I never did because it sucked. But anyway, he was trying to get a bunch of people to sign a petition and had like tens and tens of thousands of signatures. I forget what it was he wanted to do, but it was one of those he didn't like the way the finale went, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, I mean, I appreciate what you're doing and the passion that you have for the show and good luck with it. But I can't in good conscience sign that petition because the whole show wasn't purgatory. You could argue that the so-called flashbacks or flash sideways in season six were, but I mean, the whole series, no, they weren't dead for the whole series. That's not at all what happened. And it's obvious when you watch the show, even if you don't go with the fact that the showrunners actually explicitly stated that in multiple interviews, if you watch the show and pay attention, that's the furthest thing from what's going on. So, I mean, you know what? Go on with your petition and good luck to you guys and, you know, keep the faith, blah, blah, blah. And oh my gosh, that was just opened the floodgates of email after email after email and how I must be a horrible parent. And I mean, just the level of vitriol that this guy and any response I sent to this guy with, like, you know, a whatever dude sort of thing. I mean, he just tore apart in detail. And I'm like, either you're messing with me, right? This is like, you know, you're just trolling me or something here. But no, this guy was like psycho.
Jeez. Wow. All over Lost.
I know, right? It's like, okay, dude, it's a television show. If you don't like it, move on. Watch How I Met Your Mother or something.
That sounds like something a Star Wars fan would do.
Right.
Right, Chris? To be fair, I watched every episode of Lost, and I was there right to the end. In the end, I was like, ah!
And that's okay. I think the finale of Lost is one of the best television finales I've ever seen, though I too am upset by all the questions that weren't answered. But the thing is, I get it. Like, I'm not bothered by people who hated it.
Right.
Because I can see why they do.
For sure.
Totally. I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I can say is that at the next celebration, I'll be cosplaying Eric Blythe. So for me on the floor.
They might not let you in.
Nice.
Hey, I will say, anybody listening to this right now, I will say that I actually, my goal, and this is all I'm going to say right now publicly.
Okay.
My goal is that for Celebration 2017 in Orlando, that I will be cosplaying as a unique character that nobody's seen before. And that by that point in time, my goal is that you guys will recognize that character from the video podcast show that he's going to be doing.
Ooh.
Nice.
It'll be an in-character podcast show. And if it's either going to be like madly successful, like J.J. Abrams will totally be on the show for an interview, or it's going to tank and it's going to be like the biggest bomb in the history of Star Wars podcasts.
So, Eric, you are doing the sock puppet routine then?
I am. You know, after what you said about the sock puppet thing, I got rid of all my shoe puppets. I threw them all away. You know, you couldn't get the mouths to move on them very well. And the level of articulation, especially with the dress shoes, it was like, you know, you got the sleek patent leather looking thing for the Sith and they just wouldn't move. I'm like, dude, this is worse than the first Batman film. So, yeah, now I'm totally going socks now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Make sure you so much better. Holes in them, though.
Now, the cosplay thing for Celebration, though, I don't know how to go as like one big sock. That's going to be, yeah, I mean, how am I going to carry anything? Yeah, I'm going to put the badge around my neck for the pass, and it's just going to slide all the way right down because it's just, I mean, there's no arms, no shoulders. It's just a big sock. I don't know. We'll figure that out later, you know, one thing at a time. So anyways, yeah, I'll be cosplaying, God help us all, at Celebration.
And Lou will have his lightsaber.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, I will.
Yes, you will.
And Chris will have his sanity.
And yeah. Chris will have his boombox above his head. With
there you go.
Come on, I'm just kidding with you, Chris. Come on, man.
I tell you what, my biggest disappointment cosplay-wise is that I've got this vision that I want to do of, I'm trying to get into DJing. And I've been trying to get in since November, and I bought, you know, turntables. I bought a Novation launch pad, stuff like it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it was really like, once I listened to DJ Elliott, I'm like, I could make this. So not you, like I can do what
records,
he does.
Records, but... or are you doing records? Or are you doing is it
digital.
Electronic?
No, I'm doing purely digital. The same type
okay,
of
digital.
Method.
Okay.
That
okay.
you would use with records, but no, they're digital turntables.
Got it. Yep.
But I'm like, not that I would ever be as good as what Elliot does, but like his style of what he does, I've never heard anybody do before. And like, that's the style I want to do. I'm like, I didn't know that that could be a thing. So now what I want to do, I want to be doing Star Wars events dressed in Mandalorian armor.
Ooh.
Up on stage, DJing. You know, have the headphones built into the helmet.
Yep.
Microphone built into the helmet. And I got one better. When I'm out on the convention floor between iPad, portable Bluetooth speakers,
yep.
portable battery packs, the smaller, more portable touchpads and jog wheel style turntable type things and stuff like that. And I've got an idea for how some of these can fold out of an armor suit. I want to actually be a Mandalorian walking DJ booth.
Whoa.
It'll never work.
What do you mean?
But that's my goal. Well, first of all, I'm just building the Mandalorian armor itself. I'm not at all crafty. Well, I mean, crafty. I'm not physically crafty. Psychologically crafty, but that's a different thing. It doesn't help at all in this context.
Well, forgive my ignorance, Eric, but where are you going to put the disco ball?
Well, you know.
Wouldn't you like to know?
That's why I've got Lou as my roadie.
He's going to have a pair of them.
He's going to be off to the side with a fishing pole with the disco ball over. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, I don't do disco. I'll do techno. I don't do disco, though. I draw the line when it comes to disco.
Eric, I would love to go see you.
Yeah. Here's the other part of this. And talk about biting off more than you can chew. Not only do I have to make Mandalorian armor, then I have to make a helmet that is lightweight enough that I can wear it for like a 1 or 2 hour long set. And it's got the electronics inside of it. And that's not including the whole mobile DJ booth thing. But then I actually have to learn how to be a DJ. I could suck at it.
I could really suck at it, guys. In the chat room, BWH1138 asks you, Eric, can I book you for my daughter's reception when she gets married? So are you doing bookings?
Sure. Yeah. If you'll pay my travel expenses.
And his daughter's like 6 right
well,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I guess.
Did Lou just say my daughter's 6?
Well, I mean, I have to learn how to do this stuff.
He has got enough time to build this costume and learn how to DJ. Yeah.
I figure, and you know, 12
using,
years
you know,
minimum.
Digital downloads will be like holographic chips or something.
Yeah, see, Lou's on it. He knows.
No, Lou cracks me up all the time.
All right, so Chris and Lou, lightning. We need to wrap this up and actually get, I mean, this is fun, but we need to actually get to the Echo Base episode, too. So since we were kind of already doing the kind of the personal questions and stuff like that, lightning round.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay. Ready.
Chris, you're going first.
Yes.
Chris, favorite color?
What was that?
Favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite animal?
Okay. Like pet animal, dog.
Doesn't matter.
And you're not going to believe this, especially after last week, but my favorite, non-pet animal is a penguin.
Okay, that's cool, actually. I would say that's in my top 10. Okay, favorite location? Let me rephrase it. Favorite location that you've actually visited?
Oh,
it can be a particular place.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, there we go. Okay. I was going to say it can be like Chuck E. Cheese, or it can be like a city, or Nashville, Tennessee. I've heard that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite place you've never been but want to visit?
England.
Okay. Favorite fictional character?
Probably a tie between Obi-Wan and the Ninth Doctor from Doctor Who.
Okay. Favorite book?
Oh, or, man, you know, that's
top
a good
two
question.
Or three is fine if it's, you know.
One of my favorites is Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Okay.
So.
I know nothing about it other than it was apparently good enough to make into a film.
Yeah.
With Emma Watson, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, good enough for me. And favorite album?
Oh.
Wow.
That is a tie between two. The first is Frank Sinatra's In the Wee Small Hours. And the second is Origin of Symmetry by Muse.
Mm.
Interesting.
Nice job.
Okay. Lou.
Yes.
Favorite color?
Red.
That explains a lot. Favorite animal?
Cat.
Let me take notes here. Hold on. The psychoanalysis is really starting to come to light here. Favorite location that you have visited?
Sydney, Australia.
Wow. Okay. Favorite place that you've never been to but would love to visit?
Alaska.
Oh, good pick. Favorite fictional character?
Good question. Just because I like the book so much, and I can't remember the character's name. That says a lot right there. But the book series you turned me on to a couple years ago about the breach. What's the main character's name?
Oh, and I could have told you until you put me on the spot. It's written by Patrick Lee.
Yep.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was a very intriguing character, kind of a mysterious past and awesome
Travis?
Character itself. Yeah, Travis. Travis.
I don't remember his name. But
anyway, yep, that's him.
Interesting. Okay. Favorite book or books?
Almost anything by Michael Crichton. The Andromeda Strain is a really good book.
Okay. Oh, that's a good choice, Lou.
I've not read that one of his. I've read portions of his selection. I've not read all of them, and that's one I haven't read.
Hey, almost anything he writes, he's like he's gotten a PhD on whatever the topic is. He makes it sound so authoritative.
Right.
I just love his books that way.
And he actually puts a sense of intensity
in
what would otherwise seem like it may be dry material. So that's, yeah. Favorite album or albums?
Oof, 2112 by Rush.
Oh, okay. That's a good choice. You can't go wrong with Rush.
No. Oh, that's an amazing choice.
Great Canadian band right there.
Exactly. Yeah. Toronto based, right?
Yeah, thereabouts. Okay. Neil Peart's originally from St. Catharines, where I was born at. So.
Oh, cool.
Cool. All right. So I'll wrap it up here. Favorite color? I'd say blue. Favorite animal? Raccoon. As strange as that might sound. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
With the wolf being a close second. Favorite location that I've been to? It would have to be a tie between Alaska and the Alps in Germany. I'd probably say Germany. Favorite place that I've never been to but want to visit? Probably Ireland. Yeah. Favorite fictional character? Wow. I actually wanted to do like a top five or a top 10 list for all of us for Random Chatter someday. We may still do
that'd
that.
That'd be fun, yeah.
So I'm not going to say that this is my favorite, but this is one that every time I try to make a list, I never forget to put him on the list. Dr. Cox from Scrubs.
Okay.
Because he is my inner voice. If you've ever seen Scrubs, you know what I'm talking about. But like when he is my inner monologue all the time, Dr. Cox. Favorite book, I'm going to say a tie between Ender's Game and Ready Player One.
Oh, love Ready Player One.
Yeah, it always used to be Ender's Game, but now I'm starting to think maybe Ready Player One is actually my favorite book, except there are some people have pointed out some problems they have with the book, and I can kind of see some of the complaints. There are actually some, surprisingly, I didn't believe it at first, but the way they presented it, I realized there are actually some legitimate flaws with the book. But anyway, so those would be my favorite books. Favorite album? There are a lot that are tied for second place, but first place is definitely the Blade Runner soundtrack by Vangelis. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's it. We need to wrap this and move on to what will hopefully be a short episode of Echo Base. Joe and Joel, thank you both. I think this is going to surprisingly end up being our random chatter episode for this week. It wasn't really expected, but I think it's been really fun having you guys on. And, you know, we had some good stuff here. So
mm-hmm. Oh, this
thank
is great.
You guys.
Yeah.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. This is awesome. Yeah.
You know,
thank you guys.
That's the other thing about podcasting is that, and this is going to sound like one of those, oh, they're just being humble or they're just, you know, being polite or blah, blah, blah. But in all seriousness, like we feed on the feedback that you guys all give us. And it's like, we could all sit in a room and talk Star Wars all day. We could sit in a room and talk Star Wars all day and record it and post it on the internet. But to answer an earlier question of yours, one of the things that keeps us coming back is that, like, we'll say stuff and then people will respond with their opinions on what we said. And it's like, after we're done with the hour-long conversation, it continues. The conversation continues through email and stuff like that. And I know that we're overdue for, like, a listener feedback episode or two, but, like, we actually read these emails and it's like that keeps the conversation going. And there are a lot of things that we brought up on the show in the past that are insights that we didn't really even think about. And someone emailed us and we're like, wow, that's a perspective we hadn't even considered, or discussion topics that were completely thought up by listeners. And a lot of times those are some of the more fun episodes, I think, because, yep, you know, we've looked at our own perspectives so much that when someone else gives us a new perspective on something, it's like, now we have something new to sink our teeth into. It's like, they've just opened up new aspects of whether it be Star Wars or, you know, Deadpool or X-Men films, you know, whatever the topic is, it's bringing new aspects of that content to us, which is great. So, we, you know, you're thanking us for having you guys on, but we sincerely thank you guys for, not just for donating through Patreon, but, like, you guys are interactive with us and you guys contribute, and a lot of other audience members do too. And we want to make sure that people really actually understand that when we say thank you for interacting back with us, that is a big driving force of why we do this. You know, when we were at Celebration, and people would come up to the booth while we were recording, and, you know, there was always one of us that would step down from the booth in the middle of a recording and go talk to whoever was at the little wall around the booth, because it's like, not because we feel like, oh, that's our fans and they want to talk to us and, you know, we should show them appreciation and, oh, thanks for coming to see us and stuff like that. No, it was because, like, they have stuff to give back to us in what they're saying. And, you know, I want to hear what they think about what we're doing and what can we do to make it better for them? And what are their insights and stuff like that? And that was one of the big draws of the more memorable moments of Celebration in a lot of ways was, I mean, yeah, we met Mark Hamill and yeah, I got hugs from Vanessa Marshall, but also, like, we had people that we've spoken to in emails and stuff that came up to us and like, you know, I got to shake their hands and I got to see them smiling because of something I did. And that was mind blowing.
Yeah.
And I know it was for Chris and Lou too, cause we've talked about it amongst ourselves before, that it's just like,
yep.
That is why we keep coming back to do it, because we love our audience. Like,
well, I want to thank you, Eric, and then I can't wait till next month.
Yeah, no, we're going to have you back. I mean, that's one of the things we want to make sure that the people who help support us through Patreon get something back. And we're glad that, you know, you guys were here participating. I don't know that it'll always end up being a random chatter episode in and of itself, but I think this recording has been awesome. And I think this is going to be an awesome random chatter episode. I've got about 2 hours worth of recording here, so I'm going to have to turn it down a little bit, but, you know, it'll be all right. All right. So I guess now I have to do like the closing credits thing for Random Chatter, like off the top of my head. So let's see. Email. Send us emails at randomchatter@randomchatter.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/randomchatter, Random Chatter Network. The Twitter account is @randomchatter. I'm at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. Lou, where can we find you on Twitter?
Lou Secchi, LOUSECKI.
And Chris?
At The Curse of Chris.
And Joel?
Oh, yeah, it's my first name, JOEL. _ my last name, which is WELCH. I tweet about various topics. There's some science fiction fandom stuff. There's some professional stuff. And there's some fun stuff. So, yeah, follow me.
Yep.
And I'll follow you if you want.
Yeah. And you're more active than I am, so which is a really good thing. And I know that about you because I follow you on Twitter and because you're very active with cool stuff to say. Joe, what about you?
You can follow me at Joe@JOECRUZ.
All right. And let's see, what else do we have here? I already thanked the Patreon folks. Live Tuesdays and Thursday nights. randomchatter.com/live. We normally start at about 9 p.m. Eastern time. If we don't start right at 9 p.m., we start a little bit later, but we've generally got something going on there through the stream. So come hang out with us, chat with us while we're doing it. And it's always a good time. We love our ability to be able to interact with people during the show as well. And then you get to hear the show a little bit early too, which is awesome. And that's it. So the music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. And as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. And so don't sue us. And if you do sue us, sue Lou, because he's the oldest and probably has the most money. Yeah, wow. I know, right? Well, because I think, you know, seniority should have its privileges, so you should be the target. Remember what I said about the death threats thing, and that's how you know you've made it? Well, it's kind of like it's a similar sort of a thing there. I'm trying to help you out, man.
Just like the whole thing, you know, if we're chased by a bear, that run the bears, that run you.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
No, if you're ever being chased by a bear, just climb a tree. You'll be fine. So that's it. Take care, everybody, and we will see you next week.